Yeah, so did you see those Civil War?
Yeah, those musket balls. That was pretty cool.
That was crazy, man. It's like estate sales are weird because you've got these things over here that are obviously worthless that are like $10,000, and then you've got artifacts from the Civil War in a bag for $5.
Right. Like,
okay, I'll leave that behind, but I'll take this. Yeah, they had a Ouija board that was, it was from the 60s.
It sounds like it would have been cool. Was it a name brand, or was
it? It was
from Parker Brothers.
Parker Brothers. Okay. It was William Fold board. Uh-huh. Like, it was the old school one in the old school box. But the problem was the box was water damaged and warped. Okay. And whenever you pulled the board out, it had been used a lot. It was all scratched up. And she wanted $10 for it. And I'm like, man, I've bought and sold these things left and right a lot. Like, this is maybe worth $5. And she's like, nope, it's old. It's like,
but it's in shitty condition.
It's in bad condition. I'll give you $5 for it. Like, okay, then I'll just take these Civil War musket balls for right. $5. And
I remember I found one once that I wish I would have kept it, not sold it. But that's when I was flipping a lot of estate sale items and everything. It was a full size. It wasn't a foldable board. It was an old, like, 1960s board that was some off brand. It wasn't Parker Brothers, and it was just one full size. The box was huge. It was one full size board that you pulled out, and it was pretty badass, man. I wish I would have kept that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one of the few times I found one that wasn't Parker Brothers. You know,
I got that Cobra Commander.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
I thought it was because how G.I. Joe did all their reissues at certain points with all their different colors, so from the originals.
He thought it was a variant.
So I picked him up because obviously he was in one of those bags of toys for like $3 or whatever, and I picked him up and I looked through the bag, and I'm like, nope, that's Cobra Commander. And so then I looked it's on his butt, the date, and it's like, Hasbro, 82, 83, and I was like, whoa, this is an OG Cobra, but he's gray.
Yeah.
And like, he's fully gray, except for like a little bit of blue on his arm, so I was like, is he some kind of a variant? Because I got a Storm Shadow, and like, the right side of his face is yellowed, and the other side is white, so it's like, depending on how they laid in a box, whether they were kept in an attic or whatever, they discolored. But this one was discolored perfectly, like front and back, legs completely discolored, but all the paint, like all the black paint, is still black. It's like just colored gray all the way up, and except for the swivel arms. Uh-huh. Like his forearms are still blue, but everything else is perfectly gray. And I was like, I'm trying to look it up, but it looks like he just aged out, but pretty neat.
Yeah,
get a Cobra Commander for a quarter.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 142. It is August 5th, 2019. We're kind of pulling through the last bits of summertime. Need to make this thing go away. It's too damn hot.
Well, we've had a nice little cool front for a few days that was very welcome, but
yes,
it's getting hot again quickly.
So, spoiler alert, everybody. You've had a month. It came out on July 4th, but we're going to start this episode off with a good, solid spoiler alert. There's spoiler alerts on the website. I'll probably even put a little alarm thing at the beginning of the little pre-roll just so you understand. We're going to be talking about Stranger Things today.
Season 3,
and it has been out for a month, so you've had a chance to watch it. So we feel as if it's safe to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't seen it and you intend to, push stop, go find one of the other 141 episodes and listen to that, because this one we're going to talk about Stranger Things. We're not going to necessarily specifically talk about the story, but some of the stuff that we're talking about, if you haven't seen it, it's really, really cool, and we don't want to spoil that little bit of discovery for you. So, but we're just over here like, dude, we got to talk about it. It's so cool.
Because I binge-watched it July 4th, the day it came out. I finished it that day.
I watched it a couple of days after that, over a couple of days, and went to work very tired because I just couldn't stop. Stranger Things is so good.
Yeah, it is a great show.
So once again, spoiler alert, and then we're going to...
First, the old business.
All right. On this date in 1305, William Wallace was captured and sent to London to be tried and executed. So, pour one out for William Wallace. Go watch Braveheart. Great movie. In 1583, the first English colony in North America was founded in Newfoundland, Canada. Mm-hmm. And in 1620, so a little about 37 years later, I guess, the Mayflower leaves Southampton.
Okay.
So things moved a little slower back then. This one will get your hackles raised a little bit. On this date, 1861, in order to pay for the war effort, the first income tax was established. Guess how much the income tax was?
1%.
It was 3% on all incomes over $800 a year.
Oh my God.
So if you made less than $800, no tax. But if you made more than $800, then you were taxed on 3%.
Right.
And then it was rescinded in 1872 after they'd recouped their expenses.
You know, that would never happen today. Think about toll roads. Oh, we just need to pay for the toll road with your tolls. 2 decades later.
Mm-hmm.
The money is now allocated to something else.
Oh, no, they're still rebuilding the toll roads. Like, it's never finished. On this date in 1884, the cornerstone of the Statue of Liberty is laid. So that's getting built. Never been to New York, but I hear, like, the Statue of Liberty from, like if you see, like, Escape from New York, and it's got the big old Statue of Liberty head laying there on the street, it's not that big.
Okay.
It's a lot smaller than you imagine it to be. Let's see.
I wanted to watch Strange Brew the other day for some reason, and there's a scene where they're doing the post-apocalyptic movie at the beginning, and he's walking around and he finds the Statue of Liberty laying on the ground. He's like, look, it's the Statue of Liberty. It's been destroyed. He lays it back down.
Such a great movie.
I know.
All right. On this date in 1914, the first electric traffic light is installed in Cleveland, Ohio. I think of how many lights I had to stop at just to get here today. Like, man, that took off like a virus, didn't it? This is hard to believe. This is insane. 1926, Harry Houdini performs the greatest feat, which consisted of him being underwater for 91 minutes in a locked case.
Oh, wow, man.
I don't know how he made it, but...
A very shallow breath. Well, he was in a locked case, so he had some oxygen in there.
Yeah.
But that's...
On this date in 1957, American Bandstand debuts. I remember that used to come on when I was a kid. And on this date in 1962, Marilyn Monroe was found dead in her home of an apparent drug overdose. She boned too many Kennedys. She got.
She knew too much.
All right, notable births. Happy birthday today. 1930, Neil Armstrong. First man on the moon.
Did you see my shout-out to Apollo 11 anniversary with the Buzz Aldrin clip? Did you see that?
Punching that guy?
Yeah. You are a liar. You are a pow. He couldn't even finish his statement. Buzz Aldrin just jumped on his ass.
This date in 1945, Lonnie Anderson. WKRP
in Cincinnati.
God, that show was on.
The wife of Burt Reynolds.
Hell yeah. Dude, WKRP, that was just on all the time when I was a kid. It was on.
I bought a box set of it. I love that show,
it's
dude.
So funny, dude.
Johnny Fever, you know, that was an awesome. Les Nessman.
Les and Herb. Yeah. It was God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. Talking about like the
turkey drop,
getting the ducks on the hot plate so they dance. Like, dude, who does that?
That was an awesome show as a kid, man.
This date, 1964. Happy birthday to MCA from the Beastie Boys, Adam Yaut. We lost him a few years ago. Yeah, he put in his will the Beastie Boys' music could never be used for anything, so the other guys kind of got screwed out of stuff. Oh, yeah. But, whatever. And on this date in 1970, happy birthday to James Gunn.
Another very talented man. What year was he born?
1970.
Okay.
I guess he got out of Disney jail, so he's back on Guardians.
Yeah.
He's doing Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad first, and then he'll be back on that. Yep.
And I don't have any notable deaths today.
If I can add one, today is the 5th, right? 2 days ago, 1973, Scary Dad Scott.
Nice. Happy birthday, bro.
Thank you, sir. Getting old. 46 now, man.
All right. And that's it for the old business. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Radio Shack Storewide Manager's Red Tag Sale is on now. We've slashed prices 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. Save on famous Radio Shack Hi-Fi, car stereo, radios, toys, TV games, calculators, walkie-talkies, and CB radios. Look for the big red tag. Save like never before on these and literally hundreds of red tag specials. Hurry into Radio Shack today.
All righty. Mr. Gomez, if you will.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, I know that you are familiar with this story because I saw you posted something about it the other day. But recently, the FBI has come out with more details about a human chop shop that was found in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a horror movie come to life. It is insane, the stuff that was going on in this place. Several years have passed since the Biological Resource Center has shut its doors, but new documents detail the hidden horrors that investigators found inside of the place. They found buckets of heads, arms, legs. They found a cooler filled with male genitalia, body parts piled on top of each other. They found one body that was a woman's head sewn onto the torso of a man. It's insane, dude. The stuff that was going on there.
Did they explain why there was like that?
We'll get into it right now. They don't know why all this mishandling was going on. This actually happened in 2014, but we're just hearing details about it now.
Okay.
It was raided. The Phoenix-based body donor facility was raided in 2014 for allegations that the company was selling parts of those donated bodies for profit. So basically, they were like a clearinghouse for donated organs to go ahead and get them shipped elsewhere. But they were actually selling body parts and stuff too, which is against the law. At least 8 families say they donated their loved ones' bodies to the facility for medical research, but are now suing the company and its owner, Stephen Gore, what an appropriate name,
nice,
for mishandling their corpses and failing to meet the promise made in their consent forms. He pled guilty, was sentenced to probation. He now has to appear in a civil court this October to face several of the families who filed civil suits against him and the company itself. But yeah, it was just... no idea why they were just having fun with the bodies and doing all this weird shit, but I'm sure we'll get more details once the civil litigation gets into effect.
That's
but
insane.
It does. Basically, Serenicide was set up in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
Doing experiments. So, yeah.
Johnny, you've been hanging out in Phoenix?
Okay, I'm sure you saw the recently released trailer for Zombieland 2.
Yes.
It's pretty cool because as this article states right here, it's like, you know, it's been 10 years since the first one came out.
Mm-hmm.
This trailer just...
It doesn't
miss a beat. It looks like it was filmed the next day.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same.
Right.
The characters don't even really look that much
older.
They look
like they've aged. It just looks like it's the very next day they started shooting part two, which is pretty awesome. All original cast, all original directors. It teases some pretty cool stuff. It teases monster trucks versus zombies set piece that will be interesting to see. It's going to be taking you from the White House through the heartland with new zombies and everything. They haven't given a whole lot of what the actual plot's going to be, but mm-hmm. You can expect, you know, plenty of gore, plenty of comedy.
That was the coolest thing about Zombieland originally, was that it was self-aware. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a meta, like,
yeah.
And so as long as they kept that same heart. Like, I knew that there was a Zombieland 2 that they were going to try to work on and try to pull some original cast, and it was like in pre-production, and Twitter killed it because everybody was like, no, you're going to screw it up.
Well, that's just it. The original one was just, it was so natural the way everything came about. If you try to do a sequel and try to force the same type of vibe, they often fail. So
right.
This one, hopefully, they just finish where we left off and just keep going the same way. So, fortunately, we won't have a cameo by Bill Murray in this one, I'm sure. But I'm sure there'll be some pleasant surprises that we're not aware of just yet. So that's pretty awesome. In New Zealand, a tree was found buried in 26 feet of soil. So it was this 8-foot in diameter, 65-foot tree that they found buried deep in the ground. Carbon dating, this is just a cool-ass article, dude. Carbon dating revealed that the tree lived for 1,500 years between 41,000 and 42,500 years ago.
Wow.
What they've been able to reveal with cutting this tree in slices, the way the rings are set in the, you can tell time with the tree with rings, it actually shows where gravity changed on Earth.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Earth's magnetic field is thought to be generated by iron in the plant's core. As it moves around, it produces electric currents that extend far into space. The magnetic field acts as a barrier, protecting Earth from solar wind. And they can actually see from the rings and the amount of iron in it, they can see where gravity changed on Earth and the time period that it occurred. How fucking cool is that?
That is cool.
They don't have pictures of the actual rings that they cut, but they have a picture of the tree. It's this massive tree that, like I said, was found buried 26 feet. And I'm so glad that instead of just throwing it on a dump pile to get rid of, they actually decided to take the time and look into it.
Right.
Because think about it. This tree existed 40,000 years ago.
It's amazing.
That's amazing, dude. And like I said, cool. That article was just so cool to read. There is a 16-minute clip that you can find on YouTube. I want you to go ahead and look for it, because if you haven't seen it yet, it's a 16-minute clip that's kind of an introduction to RoboDoc, the creation of RoboCop, the RoboCop documentary that they've been working on.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty awesome. It's a documentary on Paul Verhoeven's 1987 ultra-violent satirical classic RoboCop. It's been in production for 3 years now, which might leave people feeling somewhat confused as to why such an endeavor has taken so long, but the exclusive clip might explain why it became a lengthy mammoth undertaking. The project has been something of an emotional roller coaster for all of us involved, said the director. We originally set up to honor one of our all-time favorite movies with a series of interviews and cool cutaways. That morphed into approximately 100 interviews across all three movies. And the Canadian television series. Did you know there was a RoboCop television series in Canada? Yes. And some serious trolling among archives to find the most unique and incredible materials that have ever been seen before. So this documentary is going to be pretty detailed in things that you didn't know about RoboCop.
Cool.
So check out the trailer for RoboDoc. And
certainly will. That sounds awesome. I love RoboCop. Okay,
me too, dude. The anniversary was recently. I went ahead and I, of course, had to watch it, of course.
Somebody shared just a cut clip from it from YouTube. It's just that scene where he storms the drug warehouse.
Yeah.
And why would you shoot back at that thing? Like, run.
Run. Don't stand your ground. He can't catch you if you run.
Once you shoot at him a couple of times with a machine gun and it goes ping, 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 throw down that gun and run away.
All ass.
Or put your hands up, because he will, you know, like, he's a cop. He's not going to shoot you if you're not shooting back. But, man.
Okay, did you read the article about the recent public art piece that somebody put together? Where was it? Lincoln, Nebraska, at the Lincoln Children's Zoo, is an homage to Spider-Man. Did you hear about that?
Oh, the two fingers?
With the two fingers, like shooting webs for the web slinger. And you can clearly see the webs coming out of the hands and a spider web in the background.
Well, they thought it was devil horns.
Yes. A religious group has shown outrage, saying that it's a devil worship thing. They're showing devil horns and they're demanding that it get taken down. One local woman found it so offensive that she contacted the city's mayor to demand action. In an email to the mayor, the woman called the sculpture anti-Christian, demonic, completely inappropriate for showcase near a family attraction, and said that it constitutes a hate crime against the church. It's a sculpture of two hands open, painted red and black, and formed into devil horns. It is quite clearly Spider-Man's hands slinging spider webs. So yeah, that, I thought that was pretty funny. The sculpture was one of 50 installations that the city put across the city for the Serving Hands Lincoln Public Art Initiative. So all the sculptures were supposed to have some kind of hand theme along with them, and that's one of the reasons why Spider-Man's hands were chosen for this particular one. So yeah, it Satanic Panic still lives to this
day. Dude,
all right,
that's one of those things. It's like you got to choose your battles, and that's not a really good one to choose.
Okay, this is, I found this article, and I just thought it was hilarious, dude. There is a gentleman named Jerry Foxhoven. He was the Iowa Department of Human Services director in Iowa, and he was apparently a huge fan of Tupac. This gentleman was a. But what I found interesting about it, we're talking about a white guy in his 60s. Okay, he hosted weekly Tupac Fridays, where he would play Tupac's music in the background and email. Inspirational quotes from Tupac. Recently, he sent an email to, instead of just doing it to his local, you know, office where he's at, he sent it to all 4,300 agency employees on his Tupac Friday, where he also traded lyrics with employees. He was 65 years old. Whenever he had his birthday party at 65, he had Tupac-themed cookies that had the words "Thug Life" written on them. The agency has released 350 pages of emails that were sent in this office by this man with the words Tupac or the number two in Pac. During his two-year tenure, he marked the anniversary of Shakur's death, shared song lyrics about love on Valentine's Day, and used the rapper's image to try to improve the agency's culture. He told colleagues he was inspired by lyrics that included, "It's time for us as people to start making some changes." While some employees praised his use of Shakur to inject levity and inspiration in a stressful workplace, at least one complained to lawmakers about it last year, according to the emails that they found with an open request, open records request. He was told to resign on June 17th. It was his first work day after he sent the one email to all 4,300 members of the agency. So they're trying to say it had nothing to do with the email, but it's pretty obvious that he pissed off somebody with his email. But yeah, I just thought that was so cool with this 65-year-old white guy that he could find the inspiration from Tupac Shakur.
Hey, man. Well, if you think about when did Tupac die, like in 95, 96?
Something like that.
So he was popular in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Dude, 65. So he was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So
he was in mid 30s.
You know, early mid 30s. Whenever Tupac was big, so he was. You know, it would be silly if he was. I mean, not. It's still silly, but it'd be sillier if he was hot now, and you got this 65-year-old white guy. But, you know, it's like we were all influenced by that era. You
right.
know, so.
The email that got him in trouble in June, it included what he called an inspirational quote from him. "Pay no mind to those who talk behind your back. It simply means that you are two steps ahead."
Get fired.
He got fired for that.
Wow.
And that's what I got for our new business.
All right. We'll take a break and come back.
Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time.
It's a flying saucer from outer space!
Now, he he's trapped in the past.
It's got to be a dream.
About to meet
Chocolate,
his future father.
He's a peeping Tom.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
He's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
For crying out loud, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the future.
All right, spoiler alert. This is your final one. After this, you have been warned. Here are spoilers. We're going to talk about the television sensation that is Stranger Things 3.
Yes.
Love that it's part 3 this year. Ties in nicely with our celebration of all things year 3, right?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Some of the wonderful things that they've done with the series is they've grown up with the kids.
Yeah.
So the series,
not, there's only a year in between them, so there's a year older, everything just flows very well.
Yeah, and so the writing on this show is so smart that it's not. But yeah, so it just, in my opinion, it keeps getting better. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you what you thought in a second, but Here was my thoughts. Season one was damn near perfect. I really enjoyed it. It was everything that a guy like me, you know, like born in the 70s, kid in the 80s, you know, with all of the different kinds of horror movies and different stuff that was going on in the 80s, it was a full throwback. And Stranger Things was interesting and was scary and it was full of Easter eggs to all of these old movies. I didn't think, I was a little cynical going into season two because I was like, there's no way they can top that.
Right.
But season two, in my opinion, was somehow better. And I couldn't explain how it was better because there was nothing bad about the first one.
Yeah.
How is it better? It was just different, but I was like, somehow they made it better. Mm-hmm. And going into season three, they did it again. I want to go back and rewatch, you know, from season one again.
Well, I think one of the things that is going to continue to get better with the show, until it's going to get to a peak, of course, like most shows do, is that we're talking about a group of young kids that are, you know, stars of this show. You know, they are the protagonists. As they get older, they're going to get better at their craft. The timing is going to get better. The way they flow together is going to get better. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that they just, as a whole, it just continues. They're learning their craft. They're getting better and better and better. I think we're going to continue to see it get good.
Yeah, every character is very well rendered. They all have, you know, decent screen time. They're all developed characters. There's no throwaways. Mm-hmm. And my wife was asking, like, how is it that, you know, how can it be so? And I was like, dude, it's because it's like you've got like three separate stories going on. Like, everybody breaks off and they've got their own story, and each story could be its own movie.
Right.
And they're all happening, so then each story ends on a cliffhanger at the end of the show, and you almost can't help but hit that next button because you've got to see what happens next. It's so good.
You don't want to wait. You want to know now. You want to see it. And how they go back and forth between the smaller stories that are over underneath the umbrella of the larger arc, it's awesome the way they do it. I mean, I love the idea of series on streaming services. Like I said, if they were to try to make a Stranger Things movie, it wouldn't be as effective as a season-long thing. Because just you become so much more endeared to the characters, and you're able to add so much more to it.
And it hurts worse whenever they get hurt or whenever they die or something. You're like, oh my God, like that is a big deal. But we're not going to actually talk about the show as far as like the story, because if you want to see the story, you watch the show. It's well worth it. One thing that Stranger Things does is,
definitely for people our age,
the whole thing is a every scene is a nod to something that came before it.
Right.
And
the nostalgia aspect of Stranger Things is one of the things I love about it.
These things are just peppered throughout. So we're gonna mention there's a lot of them. I looked at a couple articles, and some of them are even really obscure, so we might not necessarily talk on them. But just, like, in the 80s, you had different genres of movies, obviously. But you had war movies. And then you had, like, kids in distress movies. So you had children that were thrown into situations where there was actually, like, really bad antagonists that were adults that they had to figure their way out of. Then you had, like, teenage sex comedies and, you know, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High and stuff like that. And if you watched all those movies whenever you were a kid, or, you know, whenever you're a little kid or, you know, an adolescent, they all kind of morph together in your head as the 80s.
Yeah.
And Stranger Things is like a nostalgic fever dream of 80s references, right, to all kinds of great movies and shows and commercials and stuff.
Just like now, movies are affected by pop culture. And in the 80s, movies were affected by the stories of the times. You know, the things that we were afraid of in real life came through our movies.
So season three starts off with the big bad from every scary movie.
Red Dawn from
Rocky
III.
Like
Rocky IV.
Yeah, it's the Soviets.
The Soviets.
The Russians are up to no good. And it's up to our ragtag team of kids to take them down.
Right, just like straight up out of Red Dawn.
So fast forward a year, you know, everybody's back at school, life is normal, but somebody is trying to reopen the portal to let the monster back out, to see what's on the other side of that, inside the upside down, in the other dimension.
Right.
And there's no spoilers here because it's the Russians. That's how the season opens, of them shooting a laser into a chasm, trying to open up the upside down again. Then we get the scene that's like the gender bent Phoebe Kate scene of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
The guy at the pool, yes.
When Billy, the bully from season two, is a lifeguard, and all of the moms are sitting there waiting for him to take his walk to his lifeguard stand, and they're playing that Living in Stereo song. So cool.
One more thing that occurs whenever they. The first in Eleven's room, and they're listening to music and everything. They're listening to Corey Hart,
yeah, of course,
which came out in the summer of 1985, which is where the movie is set. But in her room, you can see there's posters in the background, and there's a poster of a dinosaur, and there's a poster of a moth, which is a nod to Godzilla, Mothra and Godzilla, which happens to be a movie that she just starred in.
Yeah.
She was just in the Godzilla movie, which is, there's so much cool stuff. I love looking at the background of movies nowadays, especially when I rewatch, Amy wanted to rewatch Poltergeist last night, and just looking at the background with all the Star Wars toys and the posters and everything, it's just so much fun to do that, man. And it's one of the coolest things about Stranger Things. There's so much stuff in the background that you'll miss.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep an eye out for it.
They, you have a good old teenage sex comedy. It's not sex because they're not old enough yet, but the kids are making out, and they got their girlfriends and their boyfriends, and
they're all starting to come of age.
You know, they're hanging out in the basement, and they're doing their stuff, and then poor Will, he's like third wheel over there, third wheel. He's not getting any action. But, He wants to play D&D, so they still have the D&D influence, even though most of the kids have outgrown it. It really points to that turning point between kidhood and teenagerhood. Mm-hmm. So, but they had so many cool references.
Well, one of the coolest things is just the fact that so much of this movie, from the first episode on for this season, is set in an old school mall.
Which yes.
For, you know, in the 80s, that was the place. That's where you went for everything. And, one of the things that I found an article that mentioned is there's a camera repair shop in the mall, which that's as old school as it can get.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking the other day about how much I miss Radio Shack.
Well, there's so many things in the mall that don't exist anymore, period. Yeah. Like Orange Julius, they're gone. Sam Goody, they're gone. Radio Shack, they're gone. Like, just So many stores that were kind of just a piece of Americana. Yeah. Like
everybody knew about
it. It was just, yeah. And they're all gone now. Like, they don't exist anymore.
That was an awesome nod. I love the fact that it's set into a mall. Which, like I said, look at Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You mm-hmm. know, the mall was the central location for all the young people to hang out.
And Fast Times had a lot more influence on Stranger Things this time than yeah. a lot of the other horror movies, especially in the first couple episodes where they're at the mall. And
we were talking about the gender bent thing. You know, you got I can't remember his name, but he's working at the ice cream store trying to pick up Steve. Chicks, just like what's her name? Fast Times at Ridgemont High was working at the pizza place. Is still he trying to meet boys?
Yeah,
that's another little gender bent nod out. Shout out to Fast Times at Ridgemont High for sure.
Definitely. Then of course you have the Russians, you know, like you say with Rocky and Red Dawn. Then that one dude just turns into Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's so choking that guy.
He's
yeah.
choking that guy. Yeah. And they're in the like futuristic, kind of looks like a spaceship sort of base.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, your failure.
Like, well, so, somebody even mentioned, one of the folks mentioned that the laser that they had that was shooting, it felt like a, you know, an amped up version of the laser from Real Genius.
Yes. Big time. Then you get the monsters start coming out.
Yes.
Things start going haywire. One thing my sister pointed out is after two years of crazy stuff happening in Hawkins, whenever Joyce starts noticing that her magnets aren't working right, she's like, dude, that would be the first thing that I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm getting in my car and I'm driving away. Because, you know, everybody would be like, oh, crap, weird stuff's happening again. Like, let's get out of here. But everybody's like in denial. But then you have Hopper. He's trying to be the dad. He's like drinking Schlitz, smoking cigarettes, and wearing the Magnum PI t-shirt.
You know, just a couple other things that were mentioned also is in Will's bedroom, you see a poster for the Evil Dead and one for REM's Murmur album. There's also some a nod to Huey Lewis in the News soundtrack. In the soundtrack, get ready for work montage and playing Working for a Living. That song was actually released in 1982, but it had a resurgence that summer with the release of Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. So, the detail they go through with this show to make sure that, you know, it makes sense, that everything makes sense, everything in the background makes sense, the soundtrack, it's crazy, dude.
Well, then they did that exact same flip scene when Will's brother's trying to get dressed when he's late for work.
Yeah,
and he's trying to put on his pants and falls down, just like in Back to the Future.
Yes, that's true. I didn't even think about that. That is true.
Some of the things that I noticed just like off the top of my head watching it, and I'm just like, oh, this is so cool. Well, first of all, the Russian guy turning into the Terminator, straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, he even talks like him. And they're not subtle about it, because there's some certain point where he does something and he turns, and they do that little dun 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 like with the soundtrack. It's awesome. And we don't have to go like narrative wise, but you know that Finn Wolfcastle, the guy that plays Mike, mm-hmm. he's in It.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that scene at the end when Lucas, the black guy, he's got the slingshot and he's trying to get the attention of the monster and he shoots the red balloon.
I did pick up on that one. I remember seeing that one for sure. Another one to pick up. Dustin makes his big, you know, invention to contact Susie, his new girlfriend that he's met.
Mm-hmm.
The name of it is Cerebro.
Yeah,
from X-Men. Yeah, that's a cool little nod right there, just showing their nerdiness.
The scene where Billy is sitting in the mall parking lot in his Trans Am, and they all come running out, and he's sitting there like revving the gas and sitting there. The way it's lit is from Christine.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a total nod to Christine from Stephen King. It's just vroom, vroom, and that car is menacing the way it's shot. And the whole Billy arc was so cool because he was a jerk. You know, he was a bully in the season two, but he didn't really do much. He wasn't really there. But then to have him be the chief bad guy throughout the whole series was really good.
Well, you know, there's that one scene where he calls a kid Lord Ass.
Yes.
Just straight out of Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm. And well, then after he gets caught, what was it, the movie with the rats? It was another Stephen King. Graveyard Shift.
Yeah.
And that's whenever he gets pulled down in there and all the rats are coming and everything. That's straight out of Stephen King right there. Whenever he turns all of the townspeople and they're all zombies. I mean, the kids go to watch Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's different, so many different little scenes. And just so many nods to stuff from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
So the soundtrack, cool.
The soundtrack itself. And like I said, what's crazy is they set up the soundtrack to... That is exactly what would have been popular at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome, dude. You know, even stuff that you wouldn't think would have been popular at the time, there's a reason why, like I said, with the Huey Lewis and the News Song, even though it was released a couple years before, it was back on the movie soundtrack that particular summer. So.
And Huey Lewis was huge that year with Back to the Future.
Yeah.
They got then the references to, like, you mentioned the mayor.
The mayor from kind of Jaws. Like he's wearing the same ugly blue suit and everything as in Jaws.
And he won't listen.
He won't listen to the protests and everything. He's going to do his own thing, just like in Jaws.
And then Old Hopper is drunk. I do what I want. But yeah, the scene that I was thinking of is the scene where Hopper has the gun on the Russian guy. And he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And he's like, no, you're not. He's like, why? He's like, you're a cop. Police have rules. That was straight out of Die Hard.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, but Hopper shot. Yeah. He pulled the trigger. The guy just moved. But there's like the then obviously when she's crawling around the air ducts, you know, that's another Die Hard. She's bitching the whole time. She's talking about her brother and how he keeps getting, you know, like, blah, 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 stupid this, stupid that, like, just like McLean did when he's crawling through the vents. Like, come on, come on, couple of laughs. The thing that really drove it home for me was the hospital scene. Mm-hmm. When Nancy and Jonathan go to the hospital to see the lady. And so there's plenty of... stuff in that old lady, which she, you know, she's the monster or whatever, but whenever she runs to the under construction wing and Jake Busey is chasing her,
yeah,
and that is straight up Halloween,
yeah,
because she stabbed him and he got up and he kept coming after,
right?
And that is Halloween 2. That scene is almost a shot recreation of Halloween 2. And then whenever the monsters get out of the bodies and they morph together and they come down and, like, she hits the wall and she falls down,
uh-huh,
and the monster, like, leans over her. A lot of things I read said that they thought that was from Alien. But for me, that was from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3.
Yeah.
When Freddy's, like, eating the girl and it's, uh-huh, like, you know, the big head.
Yeah.
Because even the monster has that crooked, like, that kind of rounded nose like Freddy Krueger has. He's all like right on top of her. And then that scene, like, so that's a nod to two awesome sequels, Part 2 and Part 3, you know, Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. Then in the next episode, when the kids get to Hopper's cabin and they're hiding out and the monster comes in and starts terrorizing stuff, and it goes straight up Evil Dead too.
There's literally a deer head on the wall, just like Evil Dead 2.
And so they're getting attacked by the tentacles, and Lucas cuts off the little piece of the tentacle,
uh-huh,
and the tentacle, like, it makes the same noise as in Evil Dead 2. Yeah, the alien scene, the scene that I caught from Alien was whenever she was getting the little piece of the tentacle out of her leg,
uh-huh,
and she you know, she extracts it, she pulls it up and throws it, and it lands and starts trying to run off like into the walls, like, yeah, like an alien.
Just, yeah.
And then Hopper steps on it. So, but yeah, the tribute to Star Wars again, where they shoot the Soviets and steal their uniforms, and mm-hmm. they're running around like in
just like whenever Luke and Han were trying to, they had Chewbacca prisoner
mm-hmm.
trying to get through, right. Definitely a reference there.
And then what? There was a couple others, man.
Oh, there were so many more.
No, I just like in those same couple episodes, it was there's just so many to keep track of, and I don't know which ones we've already talked about, but
the Evil Dead stuff. There's a reference to Gumby, of course, the Vince with Die Hard. The sauna test, whenever they're trying to figure out who's the straight out of the thing, dude.
Yes.
Straight making, from the thing, like, man.
Heating them up.
Let's see what else we got.
And the whole thing is kind of reminiscent of the thing because he hides.
He hides in bodies, right. Yeah, he's not replicating him. He's taking the bodies over, but yeah, it's just pretty much the same thing. We talked about the policemen have rules.
When Hopper shoots the Austrian guy, and he goes down, and then he gets back up, and you're like, he is the Terminator.
This is an interesting reference that I don't know if you had picked up on this one, but early on, the first girl to die, her name is Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Heather's Winona Ryder, and you know there's a slight connection there, but then later on, whenever they go to Heather's house, they break into the house. They find a bunch of chemicals under the counter, and somebody actually mentions no one could drink these and live, no one human at least. It's just straight up reference to Heather's Winona Ryder, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, also, the song that's playing whenever she goes to the science teacher's house to figure out why her magnets aren't working, he's playing a Weird Al version of it's My Baloney,
yeah.
which is My Sharona. Which yeah. is another because she was dancing to that in Reality Bites.
Right. another one is, I don't know if you've noticed, this, there's a scene, which I need to go back and see which ones there are, but they read a bunch of DC Comics and everything. And another nod to DC Comics, they found all the containers with the green chemical in it mm-hmm. that's being used. Dustin mentions that it might be a power source similar to Promethium, which is from DC Comics. It was used to create the bionic components of the Teen Titans. But it's also, one of the people that recognized it from DC Comics was named Robin, which is another. It's just, there's tons of shout outs to DC.
To DC.
Which I thought was cool.
Well, and when that green container breaks and it melts through the floor, it's yeah. like the alien blood.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see what else. There's a shout out to, and I don't remember this, but there was a Kit Kat cash giveaway. There was a label on one of the in the hospital over there, the snack machine. There's one of the Kit Kats has the label for the cash giveaway, which is an actual contest that occurred in 1985 for Kit Kat, where they were. There's also a pack of Reese's Pieces, which of course came to the forefront and became
because
like
of
because of E.T. the Extraterrestrial coming up pretty soon.
Well, they're in the store arguing about whether new Coke is good or not. Like, Lucas likes it, and everybody else is like, "Nah, that sucks."
I thought that one already. The Russians refer to Hopper as Fat Rambo, which Rambo First Blood Part 2 actually came out in 1985, so a couple of months before it actually took place. that's another one.
In that final scene where Hopper's fighting the Terminator,
yeah,
that's Terminator 2 right there.
Yeah,
like pretty much. I mean, straight. They're fighting on the rafters. They got the dangerous stuff on the side that if they fall in, they're gonna die. Like they're beating each other up on the catwalks.
Mm-hmm. Another one is the Gravitron ride from the carnival in the 80s. You remember that?
Oh, ride? Yeah.
I used to love the Gravitron because you can
stand up,
turn upside down and everything. And that was so cool. Also, when Alexei, when the Russian they captured and they're trying to get him, trying to find out what's going on and stuff, when he goes to drive away, he's playing Neutron Dance, which is from the car chase scene from Beverly Hills Cop.
Nice.
Which I thought was pretty cool. There's so much, dude.
There's like Rich Dickhead Todd, like that they steal the car from.
The creepy torture doctor, his name's Dr. Zorkov, okay? In Flash Gordon, there was a Dr. Zorkov who worked for Ming. So that's another little shout out there. Dude, there's just so much.
Come to find out that Dustin's a brony.
Yes, yeah, just saw that a little while ago. The mind flayer that pops up, they're saying it kind of evokes H.R. Giger's alien designs as far as the way it is.
It's so many different kinds of monster. So it's alien, it's the blob.
Oh, this is another one I remember seeing. When they're in the lobby of the theater, some of the posters that you see, you know, there's Back to the Future, there's Cocoon, Fletch, Daryl, the stuff. There's a big Pee Wee's Big Adventure poster, but did you also notice the Return to Oz on the marquee?
I did not.
Yes, they mentioned Return to Oz playing in the theater at that time, which is a movie, of course, we talk about every once in a while.
Scary as hell.
Yeah.
Scarier than any of those other ones.
See, that's another one. Of course, Steve, he brings up Alex P. Keaton, which at that time he was in Back to the Future during that time. It was from Family Ties. The Mr. T. cereal.
That popped up.
Yeah, that was popular in the 80s. Of course, that was Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Is Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Got a scale model of the entire town.
Let's see what else they got. Talk about the thing some more. I'm on episode 8 right now. They talk about removing the parasite from Mel's leg being like Alien. Steve and company are jamming to Howard Huntsberry's Your Love, which is also a tune used to save the day by Heroes and Ghostbusters 2. Remember, they Your Love. That's what they played to get the Statue of Liberty walking. So that's from Alien, Ghostbusters 2. Now, you brought up that the scene where Hopper, they're dressed in the Russian uniforms. You brought up the fact that it was kind of a shout out to Star Wars, but it was even more reminiscent of the scene from Stripes.
Yes,
because the outfits are the same color and everything. So that's another one that they brought up. The Stripes came out in 1981, so that's another one they could have been a little shout out to that. They talk about Miami Vice when Hopper says that he doesn't want to go on a date on a Friday night because Miami Vice is coming on. Dustin gives those in the Wheeler station wagon the code name Griswold Family. Does that not look like that came out in 1983? So that is another. There's so much, dude. I love this show.
And then, of course, you know, the mayor's played by Cary Elwes, who's Wesley from Princess Bride.
Okay. Nothing. I knew I had seen him before, but I didn't realize it. But the Family Video employee, the one that does the questions, three favorite movies, he was also in season 2. He worked in the arcade at that time. His name on the show is Keith, so he got another job working at the movie rental place. There's a ton of Stephen King stuff. The Firestarter poster is in the video store, which that character has kind of an influence on Eleven because she can do a lot of the same things.
Well, you know, The Shining with Will's spider sense and Eleven's, you know, telekinesis and stuff. There's a lot of Stephen King references all through.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. The cardboard cutout of Phoebe Cates from Fast Times at Ridgemont High is also in the video store. There's another thing that I didn't pick up on this, because I guess because, you know, you think you've known it for a while now, but whenever Steve is listing his favorite movies, Animal House, Return of the Jedi, Back to the Future, video store clerk talks about, it refers to Star Wars as A New Hope, which, as I said, would be highly unlikely to happen in 1985. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much known as Star Wars number one.
Well, no, I mean, I think on the scroll...
It was New Hope? Okay.
I don't think it was titled Episode 4.
Okay.
I don't know. I might have to look that up.
Yeah, I might have to look that up and see. But that's one thing this particular article brings up. That's pretty much what I got, man.
That's a lot.
I didn't even bring up all of them. You know, there's even more than that. It's such a fun show. There's so much nostalgia, like I said, especially for people our age that can remember all this stuff back then.
There's a lot of Gremlins references too, and of course Phoebe Cates was in Gremlins, but you had like the kid at the fair wins the Gremlin. He's mm-hmm. got like walking away with the stripe, and he's got the little gizmo as well. Recently, a couple weeks ago, sat down and we were hanging around the house. We turned on Gremlins, and I hadn't watched that one. I mean, we don't need to do a fresh eyes on it. We talk about it a lot, but I hadn't watched the movie like front to back in a while. And I'm always amazed at what they were able to do with, like, because Stranger Things has a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
But just what, you know, the animatronics and puppetry in Gremlins and
it's
stuff.
It's very impressive.
And the throwback to, you know, like the little critters running around messing with stuff, and then the lights going on and off and stuff is, you know, I was looking for Gremlins references.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, if you have not seen it,
what are you waiting for?
Go watch it now.
And we didn't give any major spoilers, because there's some major
plot points we didn't. We're just like, when you see this or that, or whenever so and so does this, there's probably some stuff in here that, you know, would spoil the fun if you haven't seen it and you're planning to. But hopefully we covered it all. If you saw some other ones that we missed, you know, throw them our way.
Right.
I'm going to go back and rewatch it and try to...
I plan on it too.
It's kind of like Hill House, where you go back and try to count the ghosts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll do it for episode 142. Go see Stranger Things. Watch it from the beginning. It's awesome. So much fun. And next time, we'll see you with episode 143. Keep it scary.
Later.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for. 'Cause just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring you